How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. Well, it has been a wild week in terms of media covering divorce mishigas engagements. And wait, before we even talk about other people's dramas, can we just say that the biggest news of all happened to us this morning? Go ahead and tell everybody the text of all texts that came your way.
That came my way?
The one that I texted you.
Oh, yes, this is huge. Okay, this is huge for Andrea. Andrea, everybody has landed. Like, if she did nothing else online, she has hit it big. So today, one of the reels that Andrea posts, and if you know our Instagram or any of our posts, really, it's Andrea. She is the person behind the Instagram, and she does a fabulous job. So one of her Instagram stories or posts, I should say,
the one we talked about last week on the show. We played it last week.
That's right. It went viral. It has like, I don't even know, probably close to a million views.
Over a million.
Oh, of course. Let her say it. So today, there was somebody who liked her video. And that somebody was, she was so excited, she can't even hold it in. Go ahead.
Perez Hilton. Only 2007.
2007. Like,
I mean, I swear, I saw it and I was in the middle of like a deep conversation with the kids and Steve. And I'm like, hold on, everybody shut the fuck up. Just a second. I have to screenshot this and text Morgan because I have arrived.
That's right.
Steve looks at my phone and he's like, oh my God. Meanwhile, Julian, my 10-year-old's like, who's Perez Hilton? I'm like, oh, you have no idea.
Well, if you don't know who Perez Hilton is, he was basically, I don't know, this fabulous guy who was the gossip queen back in the day. That's why we're saying 2007. Now, everything else has, you know, exploded, TMZ and everything else online. But he was the queen of gossip, and especially like housewife gossip and celebrity gossip. And so Andrea feels that all of her hard work has landed today.
Like you said before, if I do nothing else and I have this, it feels so good. It's just the fact that you create something and Perez Hilton is like, oh, yeah, that's funny. I'm like a dog. Is it Perez? So, okay. So that's obviously the biggest story of the day. And other news, I don't know if you've heard of her, but this like up and coming singer, Taylor something Swift, they call her. Got engaged. Okay, let's just have a moment. Oh my God, she's engaged. It's amazing. I'm dying. It's so beautiful. Is it just me or is it like obnoxious to you, Morgan, that people don't realize they probably got engaged like ages ago and then just decided to announce it? Like people think that they're actually watching this person's life in real time.
I know. And that's the unfortunate part. And I can tell you from representing celebrities in my career so far, that they do nothing in real time. It's obvious for safety reasons. And I think I read somewhere that somebody said that after they announced it, they had been engaged for over 2 weeks. And that's pretty standard, pretty normal overall. But, you know, a divorce lawyer like myself, it's not even that I'm excited for them. I'm happy. Have a great, lovely life and marriage and kids and whatever you want to do. But part of me is thinking, oh my gosh, how long is that prenup going to take? That's where I'm at.
I know. That's a lot. That's a lot of paperwork. Speaking of living life publicly, what have you seen in terms of divorce stories about the Scott Wolf divorce? Because that is what is all over my TikTok. His, my God, what the fuck is her name? Kelly Wolf. Not in a good place right now. And we do a lot of episodes covering this. And I'm sure a lot of people are probably bringing you episodes. Other people who do divorce shows are going to talk about, you know, what to do in front of the kids in light of this. We're not going to do that today because we've done tons of episodes on that. And we probably will come back to it again once we know more about what's going on. I think it's really hard to see the videos that have gone viral of her and the live stream that she did in front of the kids, which anybody would look at and say, what the hell is this? You never know what's actually going on. My guess is that there's a lot. There's a lot to this story. This does look like a woman who's really suffering and is in a really dark place. And I think that until we know more, I think all we can say is everybody loves their kids. Everybody loves their kids. Nobody wants to hurt the kids. And when you are in a really dark and unhealthy spot, and it could be because of things going on in that marriage, it could be because of things going on with her, you're going to make mistakes that could really hurt people unless you are taking care of yourself.
Yeah, it's been hard to watch. And unfortunately, I've seen it. I've seen it happen a bunch. And if you don't kind of know what we're talking about, it's unfortunately from my kind of 50,000 foot overview, I've seen just little snippets. It looks like this woman's having a really difficult time. And if you're the divorce lawyer in that for her, I would certainly be saying, do not film, do not put anything, never live stream, nothing around the kids. You're never turning on your camera. And the only thing as a divorce lawyer that I feel about the situation is just my heart breaks for the kids. And it could be done so much better. But at times when you have people who are in really difficult mental spots and positions, they almost have no control. And so sending them a lot of love and support and hopeful that they come out on the other side with that negative energy, let's turn it around to some positivity and talk about what we're talking about today. How about that?
So again, in talking about what you can control and what you can't control, you know, today we're talking about weighing your options because this is something that you do have control over. If you're listening to this episode because the title grabbed you, right? And great, I'm glad you're listening to this because that's showing that you, unlike other people we just talked about, you're doing your best to make the healthiest choices, right? You're using those critical thinking skills because you want to weigh out your options. Do I move forward with a divorce or do I stay in my marriage at least for now? So how do you know if you should move forward with a divorce or if you should remain married?
Yeah. So I wish we all had a crystal ball because that would just make things so much faster and happier and quicker and all the things, but we just don't. And we are humans and we have feelings and emotions. And there's a lot of other things that go into it, from kids to finances to families, extended families, mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, whether you like them or not. Here's the thing. There's so many other things that go into it. So it's really difficult to know right off the bat on whether or not you should remain married or not. I wish that we as divorce lawyers would be able to say to a client, and not many clients ask us this when they're coming in and they're wondering whether I should stay or go, based upon what I think sometimes they're worried about our answer. But one of the things that I wish some people in these tough situations would say is, based upon what I told you today on my marriage, you as a divorce lawyer who's been doing it 18 years, do you think I should stay or go? Because there are so many times that I would say, stay. And here's how you fix it. And here's how you work on it to see if it's going to work. But there are also so many times that I'm like cringing inside and being like, you are in a miserable miserable spot and everyone can see it on the outside but you, or you do see it, but you're just not ready to move forward. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways, but the first thing that I would say is if you are contemplating, like, you know, whether to do something or not, what is your gut telling you? Are you pushing those feelings down inside when they're bubbling up? If there's bubbles and it's bubbling more than once a week, a few times a day, that is a warning sign. It's kind of your body saying, hey, something in this relationship might not be quite right.
And this is a topic that we have covered before. And on this episode in particular, we're going to make it as clear as possible, because what we want ultimately is for you to hear what we're talking about right now and then say, you know what? Okay, this conversation has made it so much clearer what I need to do. And it doesn't mean that by the end of this episode, you're going to say, yes, I'm getting a divorce, or yes, I'm going to stay here for now. It means you're going to know, what do I do next to figure this out? So know that. Take a breath. Here we go.
All right. So we're going to cover this topic from two different angles. And remember, this topic is vast. I mean, we're going to scratch the surface here. We could probably dive into 80 smaller topics based upon this big topics. But for today's purposes, we're going to cover it from two different angles. One, the emotional side of the relationship, and two, logistics.
So let's start with the emotions. I'm going to throw it back to the TALK acronym from a few episodes ago.
Okay, yes, girl, let's talk. That famous acronym that you came up with stands for four different things. Number one, therapy is the T. Number two, we're going to get to what the hell this means later, but is attunement, the A. Number three, laughter, the L. And the final one, the knowledge, or the K.
Right. So if you are unhappy in your marriage, you're going to use this TALK acronym to guide you on what you should be looking at. So let's start with T, therapy. Are you in therapy? Here's why therapy is important. If you're feeling unhappy, maybe it's not your marriage. Maybe it's something else going on. Maybe you are raising teenagers and teenagers suck. And you're feeling drained because of that. And then at the end of the day, you don't have time to connect with your wife and you're just feeling eh.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a lot of stress going on at work, or maybe all these things are true and you're not feeling what you should be feeling from your marriage. The point with the T is that you need an expert. Not your friend Brenda, who makes a mean skinny margarita. Okay, leave Brenda out of this. Not your friend Chad, who can do, you know, who makes an amazing Manhattan and you guys are going to sit and talk about whatever all night. Those are your friends. Your friends are not your therapists. You need an expert whom you can sit in front of and unpack all the shit.
Yep. And one thing I want to relate before we hop on to the A is we did an amazing episode on this kind of therapy, the first letter in the TALK acronym, with Dr. Randy Heller. So I want you to go back into our episodes and find the Dr. Randy Heller episode. We've had her on a few times because she's that fabulous. But in that episode, she actually takes you through a pie chart that she wants you to actually map out that helps you determine what exactly is making me happy in life and what's making me unhappy. This is for those that are like, I don't even know if it's my marriage. It could be, I hate my job. It could be exactly what Andrew was saying, like raising kids is really, really hard. Or maybe you're in your late 30s and 40s and you have things with your parents going on, that you're caretaking. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. So if you're there and you're like, I don't know what's bothering me, go back to that episode with Dr. Randy Heller, do the pie chart. I promise you're going to feel better and figure some things out.
And for reference, that episode is called, Is It My Marriage That's Making Me Miserable? So that is a really good one to listen to. And yes, you are exactly right, Morgan. There are so many things depending on where we're at in life. You know, we just started back to school season. What if you're feeling miserable and empty because your kids just went to college and the house feels different? There are so many things that can be going on. So know that. And actually, what you're going to discover in therapy kind of dovetails into number two, which is the A.
All right. So we've done the talk acronym. We've done T, therapy. Now we're on A, which is attunement. What the hell is attunement, Andrea? I got to say, because this feels like one of those woo-woo terms that makes me really start to stress out here.
Not a woo-woo term. It does feel like that, but I promise you it's a real thing. You can Google it. It's not made up. Attunement is emotional attention. So even though your kids have left the house, or you're taking care of dad who's not well or whatever it is, are you getting the emotional attention that you need from your partner? That's attunement. And mind you, I just said the emotional attention that you need, not deserve or want. It's what you need. And we all need different levels. So what works for me might not work for you. Or maybe I need, and by the way, I totally do, need a lot of fucking attunement. So there could be people who are like, yeah, that's actually too much talking. I don't really want that, right? We all have different levels. There's a type of crazy that matches your crazy. That's why it's not a one size fits all. But are you getting your needs met? When you share something with your partner, are they hearing you? Are you feeling comforted?
Right. The way that I would kind of look at it now that you've kind of described this for me is when something bad is going on, or maybe you've had a day, is that your person? Is that your person? And again, Andrea and I are proponents of healthy marriages, and we are not saying perfect marriages. We agree that even the best marriages require a lot of work. There's a lot of ups and downs, and every day is not perfect. So what we're saying is, in general, is your spouse your person that you go to? All right, moving on. Oh, you've got
one
another
more thing I want to say just before, because you made me think of something. I mean, I always say this. What's your feeling when you see them call you? When you look down at your phone and you see that your partner is calling, do you think, oh, okay, good, they want to talk to me? Or do you have that feeling of dread, like, oh God, not them again. I wish it was anybody but them. Listen to that feeling. It's exactly what Morgan said at the very beginning. Are there things going on that you're ignoring, right? If you're constantly wanting to throw up when you see that your wife is calling, let's not ignore that anymore. Okay.
All right, moving on. The L in the TALK acronym stands for laughter, which when you first hear it sounds pretty surface and kind of stupid, but it's really not, right? Because laughter keeps you going, and you should have a partner that you can laugh with at times. Again, this isn't every day. This isn't like some comedy show, okay? But good marriages require laughter. Now, I will be honest. I think I'm in a pretty good marriage. I can't remember the last time we really laughed, but I know in my mind that we laugh and joke around enough, and it feels like my needs are met there. So I'm just telling you a story that I don't feel bad if you're like, I don't remember the last day that we actually laughed. But my point is to you for this L is, do you remember when you were laughing and it was a happy moment, or did it, the feeling that you got? If there's like been no laughter and you're like, I can't even remember the last time I joked around with, you know, Brenda, then, you know, you might be thinking, what are we doing here?
Laughter could also mean levity, because just like we said, you know, that attunement, there's different levels for different people. You know, maybe it's just the levity. Is that person whom you are in this relationship with, are they a person who you can be sad with and glad with, right? Do you have the good times? I mean, for me and my husband, we laugh together 47 times a day. And that's what I need. If I didn't have that, that would be a big problem. And it's because, truth be told, our lives are actually really tough. We are going through it. We've got blended kids. We've got wild stuff going on here. If we didn't have that laughter, I think we would be drowning. So it's different for everybody, but you need to be able to think, do I still have fun with this person? Because if you're not having fun, then what are you doing? And fun does not mean going out late at night and, you know, being crazy. Fun can mean that you guys went to Target together and something happened and you felt like a bond, or you sat, like, we sit outside by our fire pit at night And just having that time, that connection, that's the things that keep us going. So fun does not mean all-inclusive vacations.
Agreed. Only if it did, right? That would be some.
Yeah. When was the last time you went to Turks and Caicos?
That's right. If you didn't, break up. All right. Moving on, the K, knowledge. Okay. So we have kind of moved through TAL. And the reason that we're at K now is, all right, if you're through TAL and you're like, I'm still at the problem stage, like my gut is still like, something's not right. Now you're at the knowledge stage, which is how much knowledge do you have about the divorce process? Do you know what a divorce would look like for you? Have you even talked to an attorney to know kind of what the laws are in your jurisdiction? And that's what brings us, to end the talk acronym, into the logistics part of our conversation.
Right. So here comes the part where emotionally, like Morgan just said, you know, right? You know your needs are not being met. And if you're not going to remain in this relationship, you need to know how you undo this business agreement. Because yeah, marriage is a business agreement. Getting divorce is undoing a business agreement. So here's where we want you to listen up. And now you're going to look at, if I do this, is now the right time to do this? Or are there some big logistical hurdles that I need to be aware of?
All right. So let's jump into that. So here's the issue. So you, like Andrea said, you've already kind of gone through the talk acronym and you know for a fact that something's still not right. You're not saying to yourself, all right, I'm ready for a divorce. What you're saying is something isn't right and I think I should get the necessary information in case I need to or want to move forward in the future. So I'm going to give you three things to do and break down. This, again, I want to caveat it with. This is in a strategic planning situation, meaning you're not quite sure you're going to move forward. This is not high conflict, need to get divorced tomorrow, need to file something fast because there's abuse in the house or something like that. This is more in the information gathering because you have the time and you're not quite sure if you're going to move forward or not. All right. So step one of logistics. Number one, I want you to prepare financially. And this could take a little bit of time. But what I mean by that is I want you to gather some documents that you can that might go missing in the future. If you are super on top of your finances, you might say, I already have everything. Well, then you might get a gold star from me. And maybe what I would say to you is I'd go one step further is something that's super helpful for family law attorneys. If you are in charge of all the financials and you have all that information is a comprehensive balance sheet. So we don't have to make one. So if you have a balance sheet that pulls together all of your account balances as a certain date, maybe it's May 1st, July 1st, whatever it is, and all of your assets, that would be gold standard. If you're the person that's like, I have no idea what's going on financially, you're not alone. You're not alone. And that doesn't mean you're behind the eight ball because that is our job as divorce lawyers to help you put that together. So if you are that person, that's who I'm going to focus on right now. We want you to prepare yourself. So we want you to gather documents, maybe start looking around the house a little bit more, being a little more aware of what bank accounts are coming in. Maybe there are pieces of mail that you want to just say, oh, I realize that we have an account at Merrill Lynch. Take a little bit of notes or snapshots of these documents. If you can find some tax returns, grab those. The other thing that I want to say in a little bit more of a comprehensive high net worth divorce, this could be one thing that you want to prepare financially. So if there's a business involved, let's say Chad and Brenda, that's our resident divorce couple that we always talk about. Let's just say Chad comes to see me, isn't sure that he wants to get a divorce, but he has a business in play and he's like, what could happen to this business? And I say to him, hey, the business is marital and you're going to need to buy out your spouse at some point. He might say to me, well, how do I know how much this business is worth and what I might have to buy out my spouse on? We might at that point start preparing financially, quietly, just to get him a value on his business. So those are things that we can do behind the scenes, quietly, not saying that he truly wants a divorce, but preparing financially.
So it sounds like everything that you're talking about, though, is something that we're telling people, go and talk to an attorney about this, because I don't see people gathering all of this information just on their own. And how are people going to know everything that they absolutely need to gather? So, I mean, and I'm assuming that we're saying, if you're at this point where you've gone through the TALK acronym, you know that you are unhappy. And now you're trying to decide, should I file for divorce now? Do I file at all? What do I need to know that I don't know? The best person to guide you is an attorney.
Agreed. So that's the best way to go about it, is to go to an attorney's office or Zoom with an attorney and get the information that you might need. If you're one of those people that are like, that feels just so serious, I can't do it. You know, it feels like that I talked to a lawyer, so therefore I must want a divorce. First of all, that is not the case at all. Andrea and I are huge proponents on this show of gathering the information. Getting the information gives you power and knowledge. It does not mean you're getting a divorce. So just know that. But even if you're like, I am not seeing a lawyer, which I want you to, then just do what you can to prepare financially before you go to a lawyer at some point in the future. So that's the first thing.
And you're going to have to go to a lawyer. I'm sorry, I'll be the mean person here. You got to get over it and go to a lawyer, because you're not doing yourself any favors. I get it that you're scared, and I'm sorry that you're scared. Guess what? It's scary. You're going to need a lawyer. You're not going to DIY this thing, okay? Don't be dumb. Don't go on Pinterest and try to figure out how to do your own fucking divorce, because you're going to fuck yourself. You need an attorney. If you don't want to have an attorney, then we might not be the right guidance for you, because we are very pro-attorney on this show. Because if you cut your left leg open, are you going to go super glue it closed yourself? Probably not. I hope not. So if you trust doctors, trust attorneys, find a right attorney. We are happy to direct you to a right attorney, but this is not like a DIY project kind of production. So I'm going to say you absolutely need to have people guiding you. My question is, so we're identifying a hurdle here as if you own a business together, or if there are some financial things that you discover that raise a red flag, that it might not be the right time to file right now, or maybe you do want to file right now. So can you give people an idea of what some of those financial things would be?
Yes, absolutely. So you might want to file right now because maybe there's a law in your state or your area where you're in that says after you've been married X amount of years, you owe permanent alimony or maintenance. And so you're right before that cutoff. So that might be a thing. You might want to file if you're a business owner and you know that you had a pretty crappy year in business. So your value would be pretty low from this year's business. But next year, you're projecting 300% upswing in your business. Next year would not be a good year to get divorced and buy out your spouse. So there are things that you want to be talking to a lawyer about to say, hey, is there any timing issues here? And I will certainly flag those for any client that comes through the door.
What about time of year? We talk about this sometimes, that some people hold off, and it's not just because of the holidays, but there's a financial reason to stay married through the end of a year.
So one of the financial reasons that people might want to stay married, but it doesn't preclude you from negotiating and starting the divorce process, is to file joint tax returns if it's more advantageous to do so. So if that's a thing and we're like, okay, it makes more sense to stay married through the first of the year, we'll get you divorced on the first of the year so that you can file joint tax returns. That doesn't mean that we are not working behind the scenes or that you shouldn't file for divorce until the first of the year. A lot of people are negotiating divorces. They sign off on the divorce, but they just don't enter it until the first of the year if they want to file jointly for the year prior.
Exactly. And even if you're deciding like, okay, that means that I'm going to hold off on even filing because blah, 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 blah. Fine. Keep listening to the show so that by the time you are ready to pull the trigger and file, you have all of your ducks in a row. What's something else, Morgan, beyond the like financial part of it that people need to be mindful of that might prohibit somebody from getting a divorce right now?
Yep. The number two thing I want you to do is I want you to get the information and understand the laws in your jurisdiction on children, if you have children. Mm-hmm. And what is standard, right? What does a parenting agreement look like? So I've had clients come over to me where, let's just say Chad and Brenda again. Let's just say Brenda hires me and says, Chad is just super controlling and I don't know whether to get divorced, but I can't breathe in this marriage. I can't do anything. Maybe, you know, things have happened in the marriage that are just gross. Chad's following Brenda around, this kind of thing. But then Brenda says to me, but on the flip side, Chad's a pretty good dad. The control is really only related to me. So then you want to know, Brenda wants to know, what are we looking at for a parenting agreement, or what happens in the jurisdiction related to the children? Again, a lot of times, time is the healer of everything. And a lot of times what happens is it takes someone wrapping their head around what could happen to get them there. So if I tell clients today, this is what happens in this jurisdiction, this is what you should be prepared for, it's going to be like deer in headlights. But 2-3 months down the road, when they've already thought it through, they've been living with it, sitting with it for a while, they're not going to be in that same place at all. So there is a timing component with it as well. So the second step, just to recap, is know the laws in your jurisdiction related to children.
And with that, though, we're not saying that you don't leave because you're worried about how it's going to impact the kids just emotionally and mentally, because you guys, there was no good time for that. So know that. There's something that I just thought of while you were talking, because I've seen it not in our private community, but in another community that I'm in. Somebody had posted anonymously that they're in a really miserable marriage, but their spouse is sick, like very sick. What's our, I mean, I hate to dump that on you right now because you have no, as you're giving me that, are you fucking kidding me, guys? But no, but like, really, have you had this? Like, what do you do?
I have had this, unfortunately. Yes. It really depends on the illness, depends on the situation. Again, there's so many things dependent on your own facts. Nobody is the same. Chad and Brenda are not the same as Bob and Sarah. Like, they're just not. And you might think you're similar because you're friends and you saw Bob and Sarah go through the divorce, but Chad and Brenda's divorce is going to be very different. But if we're talking about timing issues, and because you brought up this morbid potential,
It is a thing.
And I've been through it with clients. And one of the considerations is, what is the illness? Is it terminal? Is it going to happen? Is it inevitable, et cetera? The reason I say that is because you might be leaving money on the table if you want to go divorce that person and then they are to pass away after the divorce.
Well, and I mean, I don't want to say that this is about money, because I mean, it's obviously not about money. But I think, unfortunately, again, and this is the part where I think I'm even cringing while I'm saying this, but a lot of this is business and we have to think as much as we're feeling. The other side of it is how much can you tolerate? And is the marriage bad because of the illness, or is the marriage really bad and it was bad and then the person got sick and you just feel bad? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, you know what? I want to tell you that I also have had a case on the other side too, where the marriage wasn't great. Then one of the spouses did get sick, and the spouse that was sick was just horrible, nasty.
Yeah.
So the other spouse who I represented was kind of tasked with the issue of, like, do I leave my sick spouse and look horrible and feel guilt? But every day I'm just ruining myself, and the kids are, you know, crippling under all of this stress and pressure. And my client in that case decided to get out, and that my client is so much happier. And it was a really hard decision, but I see her side and his side. I see both.
And I think that everybody deserves to be happy. I think that also we have to think about, if you have kids and there's somebody very sick who might not be able to care for the kids, that's a consideration. And again, this is why you don't want to DIY this thing and just ask your friends. This is where you do want to find an attorney. And you know what? I'm going to take it a step further. When you go and talk to an attorney, if this is the life that you're living, ask this attorney, hey, have you dealt with this before? Or has anybody at your firm navigated this? Because I need some guidance of somebody who has had field experience in this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a great question to ask and make sure that you're choosing the right counsel. Okay, so we have two of the three. I'm going to finish with the third. The third one I want you to ask yourself, if you're thinking about going down this road, you're preparing financially, you're talking to a lawyer, you're understanding what that looks like, what you may need to gather, what you want to think about consideration-wise. The second thing is you're understanding the laws about children in your jurisdiction, what that's going to look like. The third thing is a little more touchy-feely, but it's super important, is you want to be asking yourself, if I'm going to go forward, am I strong enough mentally right now? And it's something that people would probably be like, oh, you know, why? Because I want a divorce no matter what. I just am going to do it. But there is something to be said about the fact that you have to take care of you. It's like the airplane. If you don't put the mask on first, you're dead. Everyone around you is dead. It's the same thing with divorce. If you are not strong enough, you will have a way tougher time in the divorce. And so what Andrea and I always say too is, divorce is not going to kill you overall. What is going to happen is it's going to get bumpier before it gets better. So when you start the divorce, it gets a lot bumpier at first, and then it starts to level out and you will get through it. And we always say 5 years from your divorce, you will be such a different, happy person that you probably can't even imagine at this point in time. But we want to make sure that you're strong enough for those first bumps. Those first bumps are hard.
And if you're not strong enough, that doesn't mean that you just stop and remain in that paralyzed state. You've got to do things to get stronger. So if you've gone through the TALK acronym, you should already be in therapy. You should already be doing something active to be looking at your life and saying, okay, this is where I'm at. I've gone through, I know that I'm not getting the attunement I need. There's no laughter. There's no levity. I'm getting the knowledge of what this looks like. And I know that I'm going to unravel. Well, guess what? Now you're in front of another expert who can guide you on what to do so that you are the strongest. So you're going to lean on a therapist, and then you're going to lean on the attorney to say, now tell me what I'm in for. And you're going to lean on this show.
Right.
Let this show be a good guide for you, because I wish that we could just tell you guys this is exactly what it's going to look like for every single person, but that's not the case. Depending on where you live, depending on what the particulars are, you're going to have different things that are going to impact you more severely or not.
Right. And the other thing I want to mention too is another way to get strong is join our private community. We have a free private community online that's confidential. Get our things on our website. We have done all of this paperwork, and we have the DCC for you to feel stronger. Being strong enough mentally isn't just going to therapy, although I think it's a fabulous route for you. It's also doing your homework. If you do your homework, the bottom line is you're going to feel better mentally. So when these balls are thrown at you, you're ready to hit it or just let it pass by you. You're not going to be taken down every time.
I want to say one more thing about therapy. I want you to be an active participant in therapy. I don't want you to do it passively. Anybody can just show up, especially now in the age of like virtual sessions. You don't even have to get up and go anywhere. You don't have to have pants on. You could be doing therapy, you know, half naked in your car. It's easier than ever to show up for a therapy session. But the part that's not easy is the part that's the most impactful, and that's doing the work. So I want you to make sure that at the end of a therapy session, you know what you should be looking at. Like, what are we going to do next week? Don't use therapy to just recap with somebody what happened this week. That's what you can use Brenda for. Brenda would love to hear about your week. And I'm a guilty of it. In fact, I did it earlier today. I sat in there for an hour and I just gave her like the highlight reel of everything that happened. There are going to be times that you have a session like that, but guess what? I'm not going through a divorce right now, so it's okay. When you're using that time, just like how we want you to use your billable hours wisely with your attorney, use your time with your therapist wisely. Have a goal, have a point.
And I agree with you 100%, Andrea. And talking about attorneys and using your attorney wisely to make sure you're strong enough mentally, I want you to ask your attorney that deep, dark question that's like rattling you at night, the one that makes your stomach sick, that you don't even want to say out loud. Hey, Morgan, I am afraid because I think that Chad's threats about taking my kids from me are going to happen. I'm worried because I didn't get Johnny to school on time, and Chad is always saying to me that I'm a bad mom because I didn't get them there on time. Those are the things that you don't want to say to your lawyer, but those are the things that your lawyer will probably make you feel better about. And also, even if they're a problem, they can likely, if you ask them early enough, can be remedied. So those are the things, don't keep inside. Don't do it. So let's recap. These are the logistical items that we're talking about today. So number one, we want you to prepare financially. This is probably with a lawyer. If not, start pulling your documents, get together any documents you can financially. Gold star, if you can figure out a balance sheet. If you have a business, you're going to want to talk to a lawyer about that. Number two, know the laws in your jurisdiction related to children so you can wrap your mind around what could happen in the future. It's the best way to get you in the good place mentally for the kids' issues. And three, ask yourself, are you strong enough mentally? And if you're wavering, or maybe you know just 100% you're not ready for the bumps, do something about it. Get the therapist, join the private communities, listen to more of our shows, get the knowledge from a lawyer so that you feel like you're ready if you ever have to move forward.
That's right. This feels so overwhelming. I know that it does. And there's no magic wand here. There's nothing that we can do to just poof, make all this a whole lot easier. But we hope that this made it more clear. Here's what you need to do. You need to see, first of all, are you even in a place where you know that it's your marriage, right? If you haven't gone, if you went through this TALK acronym and you're like, well, I do have a lot of other things going on in my life. And we actually did really connect a few weeks ago, and that felt really great. And maybe there are things that I can do differently. Then stop. Guess what? It doesn't matter what the financials are right now, because mentally and emotionally, you don't know that a divorce is right for you. Okay. If you've gone through all of that and you're still like, yeah, all systems go. This book has come to an end and I need to know what I need to know. Okay. Well, then you need to get in front of an attorney, and these are the questions that you need to ask. And again, like I said about in regards to having an ill spouse, with any particulars that you're wondering on, whether it's owning a business together or anything else financial or something that has to do with the kids, ask your attorney, what have you done with cases like mine in the past? Have you worked on cases with this in the past? That's a really good way of learning where they're at. And if you haven't listened to our show before, I want to make sure that you also go back and listen to other episodes about who should be on your divorce team. How do you pick the right attorney? Because we are always going to steer you in the direction of an attorney that has a team along with them, because that's where you're going to get the most amount of like eyes and ears on your case and people who can really best guide you. So you're not doing this thing on Pinterest. Please.
Please. And remember this, everybody, divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. That's why we're talking about what we're talking about today. You're not going to figure things out in 2 days. You need time to understand. You need time to research. You need time to really understand it mentally, where you're like, okay, I can move forward. You need time to sit with it because it's a lot of information. And nobody's judging you for doing that. What Andrea and I want you to do is do it the right way. We don't want you to make mistakes. And if you know anything about our podcast, the reason we started this podcast is because when Andrea was getting divorced, she didn't have the best time getting divorced. She didn't have the right information and she made a lot of mistakes. And we're trying to help you not do that.
And it's totally doable. All it takes is the knowledge. You just need to know how to do it differently. We don't want you falling apart, you know, all the time in front of your kids. We don't want you making crazy videos that you're live streaming on Instagram. Don't do these things. there is a smarter way to get through this. And guess what? The fact that you're even listening to this episode shows yourself that you're doing everything in your power to make these smart decisions. So if you're new to our show, welcome. Like Morgan said, we have a private community. We have a crash course available. We have guides available. We have so much that we offer to help you get through this process in the healthiest way possible so you can move on to the very next best part of your life. And I promise you, it gets so much better.
That's right. And all we ask of you is please go and rate and review our show. It enables us to continue doing what we're doing and also bring on fabulous guests and fabulous topics. So we would appreciate any rate and reviewing.
That's right. And remember, this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. You're going to have days where you're going through this process and you're like, hey, that wasn't so bad. And the next day you are going to get bitch slapped with stress and yucky feelings. That's okay. It will get better. Keep going.
And remember, on your worst days, this is why we're here for you. You have got this.
And we have got you.